Let's read together Jeremiah chapter 29. In this chapter, we have the contents of a letter that Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the Jewish captives who were already in Babylon. We also have the contents of a letter that a false prophet in Babylon sent to one of the high-ranking priests in Jerusalem. Let's begin by reading the first 20 verses of Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29, beginning with verse 1. Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the remainder of the elders who were carried away captive, to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. This happened after Jeconiah, that is, Jehoiachin, the king, the queen mother, the officers, the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen, and the smiths had departed from Jerusalem. The letter was sent by the hand of Elisha, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Babylon, sent to Babylon, to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and dwell in them, plant gardens and eat their fruit, take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. Well, thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. Because you have said, the Lord has raised up prophets for us in Babylon, therefore thus says the Lord concerning the king who sits on the throne of David, concerning all the people who dwell in the city, and concerning your brethren who have not gone out with you into captivity. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will send on them the sword, the famine, and the pestilence, and will make them like rotten figs that cannot be eaten. They are so bad. And I will pursue them with the sword, the famine, and with pestilence, and I will deliver them to trouble among all the kingdoms of the earth, to be a curse, an astonishment, a hissing, and a reproach among all the nations where I have driven them, because they have not heeded my words, says the Lord, which I sent to them by my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, neither would you heed, says the Lord. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, all you of the captivity whom I have sent from Jerusalem to Babylon. Let's begin our study of this chapter, Jeremiah chapter 29, with some background notes. We see in verses 1 and 2 of this chapter that the second deportation of Jewish captives taken from Judah to Babylon included among the people elders, priests, prophets, officials, princes, craftsmen, smiths, the queen mother, and the king himself, that is, King Jeconiah or Jehoiachin. We also know that Ezekiel was one of the prophets taken into captivity at this time. Daniel was already in Babylon. Jeremiah was still in Jerusalem at this point, and soon after this second deportation of Jewish captives to Babylon in 597 BC, Jeremiah wrote a letter to these captives, encouraging them to try and live a normal life. Remember, there were Jewish false prophets in both Jerusalem and Babylon at this time. Their message was the same old lie. Peace is right around the corner, and the captives will soon return with all the temple treasures. Jeremiah in Jerusalem and Ezekiel in Babylon both denounced these false prophets and their message in no uncertain terms. In fact, in verses 21 through 23, Two of these false prophets in Babylon are named, Zedekiah and Ahab, obviously not the kings by those names. Jeremiah predicted that these two false prophets, who were also involved in immorality, would be taken by Nebuchadnezzar and burned alive. In verses 24 through 28, we read about another false prophet in Babylon named Shemaiah. This false prophet had sent letters to the priests and people in Jerusalem, urging them to denounce and discipline Jeremiah for telling the exiles in Babylon to settle down and live normal lives. Let's read these verses, verses 24 through 28. You shall also speak to Shemaiah, the Nehelamite, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, you have sent letters in your name to all the people who are at Jerusalem, to Zephaniah, the son of Maaseiah, the priest, and to all the priests, saying, the Lord has made you priests instead of Jehoiada, the priest, so that there should be officers in the house of the Lord over every man who is demented and considers himself a prophet, that you should put him in prison and in the stocks. Now, therefore, why have you not rebuked Jeremiah of Anathoth, who makes himself a prophet to you? For he has sent to us in Babylon, saying, this captivity is long. Build houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat their fruit. Verses 24 through 28. After Zephaniah read Shemaiah's letter to Jeremiah, Jeremiah wrote a second letter to the exiles, pronouncing judgment on this false prophet, Shemaiah. Let's read these verses, verses 29 through 32. Now Zephaniah the priest read this letter in the hearing of Jeremiah the prophet. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, send to all those in captivity, saying, thus says the Lord concerning Shemaiah the Nehelamite, because Shemaiah has prophesied to you, and I have not sent him, and he has caused you to trust a lie. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will punish Shemaiah, the Nehelamite, and his family. He shall not have anyone to dwell among this people, nor shall he see the good that I will do for my people, says the Lord, because he has taught rebellion against the Lord. Verses 29 through 32. Well, that's a lot of background. Let's move now to our doctrinal points for Jeremiah chapter 29. Doctrinal point number one, believers should live as normal a life as possible in this world. Believers should live as normal a life as possible in this world. From verse 3, we see that Jeremiah's letter to the people was sent along with two official couriers that were carrying official correspondence between King Zedekiah and Nebuchadnezzar. Jeremiah's message to the people was to live as normal a life as possible while they were in captivity. Build your houses and plant your gardens, marry and raise families, and don't believe the false prophets who say that the captivity will soon be over. No, the captivity will be for 70 years, so get used to it. After 70 years, my good plans for you are to bring you back and give you a future. In fact, in the far future, you will seek me wholeheartedly and find me, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel from all the nations where you have been scattered, and I will restore your fortunes. But in the meantime, live as normal a life as possible. You know, history has shown that throughout their many long years of worldwide dispersion, the Jewish people have followed this general pattern. They have identified with their country of residence and lived as normal a life as possible, but always with a hope of next year in Jerusalem. In view of the rest of Scripture, I think we have an application here for Christians. Believers should live as normal a life as possible in this world. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2 says that we should pray to be able to lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence or dignity. And Romans 12:18 says, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Romans 12:18. Now we know there will be persecutions and tests of our faith and disruptions in life, but still our aim as believers should be to live as normal a life as possible in this world. Doctrinal point number two. Believers should pray as much as possible for the rulers of this world. Believers should pray as much as possible for the rulers of this world. Verse 7, and seek the peace of the city where I've caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. The captives in Babylon were to pray to the Lord for the welfare of Babylon. Their own welfare was dependent on the welfare of Babylon. And this would have included praying for Nebuchadnezzar and the other officials. The same is true today. I'm reading 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence or dignity. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. From 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. So when was the last time that you prayed for the rulers of Russia and Iran and Syria? And we should not only pray for the big world leaders, but for state and local officials as well. We are to pray for all who are in authority. Certainly the prayers of the godly Jewish people in Babylon were a factor in the conversion of Nebuchadnezzar, which we read about in Daniel chapter 4. And the Lord can answer our prayers concerning rulers today. Remember, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. Proverbs 21, verse 1. Believers should pray as much as possible for the rulers of this world. Now we come to practical application. Be careful how you apply Jeremiah 29:11. Be careful how you apply Jeremiah 29:11. Verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Or to make it into a mini verse, Jeremiah 29:11, I have good plans for you, says the Lord. Jeremiah 29:11. Isn't that a great promise? This is God's promise that you will be healthy and wealthy all of your days. True? No. That's way out of context. This promise, in context, is to the Jewish exiles in Babylon who were there as part of God's discipline. The good plans for welfare and not for calamity here were to bring the Jewish captives back from captivity and to restore the nation to their land in the future. A proper application of this promise today would be in a more parallel situation. For example, if you are in a discouraging situation, even under the heavy hand of God's discipline, don't despair. God still loves you and has good plans for your future, as Romans 8, 28, and 29 confirms. But not for perfect health, or better jobs, or more vacation time. No, but to be more like Christ, yes. So be careful how you apply Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11.